The title of my study today is Jesus is Coming Back Very Soon. Are you ready? I am sure that my listeners will have noticed that extraordinary strange events are taking place on the earth that have not happened before. I want to assure you that what is taking place on the earth, be it the people, nature or in the cosmos, is no surprise to God. In fact, God has already foretold these things in his word, the Bible. God has been impressing on my heart for quite a while to prepare this study, not realizing the coronavirus is about to ravage the world, bringing transport and trade almost to a standstill. Now is the time to be asking some very important questions, such as what is going on with our planet and its people. We as God's children are very privileged to live in this period of time. And maybe we will be the privileged generation who may live to see Jesus appearing in the air to collect his bride, the church. Although what is happening is causing great distress, I get excited when I see what is happening in certain parts of the world. It fills me with great anticipation as I see what changes are taking place. When we book a holiday, we cannot wait for it to happen. In the waiting, we will be searching or sourcing all the info about the holiday. We are God's children. When we understand what awaits us when Jesus takes us home, we should be filled with joy and full anticipation. Because the world we are about to go to, which will be for eternity, is many, many times more glorious, full of freedom and joy, compared with the world we live in at present. The songwriter has captured the joyful truth and anticipations of what will soon take place when he writes, "It may be at morn when the day is awakening, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. It may be at midday, it may be at twilight, it may be perchance that the blackness of midnight will burst into light in the blaze of his glory, when Jesus receives his own. O joy, O delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread, no crying. Caught up through the clouds with our Lord into glory, when Jesus receives his own. O Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song? Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen." In the days we're living, when speaking to other fellow Christians, I find it very disappointing and frustrating to discover they are so passive and dismissive of the imminent return of Jesus. There is little or no teaching regarding Jesus coming back for his people, the church, or any teaching as to what will happen here on earth prior to his coming, or how this world will end. Jesus spoke in some detail, telling us what would happen in the last days. In my frustration, I often say to myself, "Wake up, church! Can't you see what is happening? Can't you read the signs?" Jesus said in Matthew 24:36-45, "But about the time or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the floods, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and another left. Two women will grind in with a handmill, one will be taken and another left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Let us take serious notice of what Jesus said in Matthew 24:40-41. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, and the other left. That means that not everybody will be caught up into heaven, only those who are God's followers, the church, Jesus' bride, will be going up to heaven. Those that do not know the Lord will stay on earth. The Apostle Paul reminds us of how this will happen in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left until the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and that are left shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. During the 3 years that Jesus was ministering here on earth, he made it very clear that he would be leaving his followers and returning back to his Father in heaven. But he also made it clear that one day, a day known only to his Father, he would return again to collect the church, his chosen bride. But he would not actually touch down on earth. He would come into the air and gather up those who are dead in the grave first, and then he would gather up all the Christians living on the earth. Just before Jesus went to Calvary, while celebrating in the upper room, what we know as the Last Supper, Jesus reassured his disciples by saying in John 14, 1-4, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." In Matthew 24, Jesus says much about his return. So during his conversation with the disciples, they ask the obvious question, which all of us would like to know. We read in Matthew 24, verse 3, "As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. 'Tell us,' they said, 'when will this happen, and what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age?'" Down through the centuries, Christians have been anticipating Jesus' return. Jesus did say that we will be able to read the signs of his imminent return. Let us read how Luke recorded Jesus' words in Luke 21:5-38. "Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, 'As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down.' 'Teacher,' they asked, 'when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?' He replied, 'Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, "I am he," and "the time is near." Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away.' Then he said to them, 'Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains, let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is a time of punishment in fulfilment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxiety of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Each day Jesus was teaching in the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. At this point I want to highlight one thing Jesus said in John 21:27. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. He did not say he was coming down to earth. Mankind will see him coming in the clouds with great glory. The apostle tells us very clearly that when Jesus comes back, it will only be to collect the church, both those who are in the grave and those who are alive on earth. The apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 50-53, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. For the last 2,000 years, little has changed in the way mankind has been living. Living without electric power as we know it, only oil wicks and candles, the use of oxen and horses for work in the land and transport. But during the 19th century, dramatic changes and developments have been taking place with rapid growth in communications, cars, rail and transport. Graphs available on the internet show that the world population grew little during the time from when Jesus lived here on earth, growing from 1/3 of a million to 500 million by the mid-1700s, rapidly increasing to 1.6 billion in the 1900s. But from the early 1900s, the world population had quadrupled, steadily increasing over 200 years up to just under 8 billion people to the present day. Down through the centuries, the world has experienced many extreme weather conditions like floods, earthquakes and drought. At the start of 2019, in the Christian magazine Charisma, it reported that one of the earthquake zones, called the Ring of Fire, saw a dramatic increase of activity in Alaska. 81 earthquakes in 10 days, with the added quotation, "Something is happening to our planet." An article in an American publication called Insurance Journal stated that during a 5-year period, around 1965, USA experienced 40 tornadoes, while in a similar period around 2015, the number increased to 80. We in the United Kingdom are experiencing a rapid increase in violence on the streets. The LGBT movement is gaining a very high profile, in direct conflict with the teaching of the Bible. This is just a taste of our world as we know it today. Let us now read what Paul said to young Timothy about what will happen in the end times in 2 Timothy 3, 1-7. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Over the centuries, mankind has fallen foul of God's laws, but in the days we live, we see violence on an ever-increasing scale. If we were to take pleasure and tourism out of the commercial equation, it would have a dramatic effect on many of the economies of the world. In the days of Noah, before the flood, mankind was so evil. We read what God said to Noah in Genesis 6, 5-8. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thought of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them." But Noah found great favour in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out." As we know, Noah built the ark. Then animals and birds and creatures of every kind came into the ark, together with Noah's own family. For 40 days God flooded the world and all of mankind, except Noah's family, were saved. Notice again what Jesus says in Matthew 24:37-38. "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark." When Jesus comes back to take his people home, the behaviour of mankind will be just as it was prior to the flood. Just a few more centuries on, we read again in Genesis 19 how Abram's cousin Lot went to live in Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah were full of extreme evil. We read how God rescued Lot and his family just in time. We read in Genesis 19:1-5. The two angels arrived in Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they answered, "we will spend the night in the square." But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we may have sex with them." God miraculously protected Lot's family and the two messengers. We continue to read in Genesis 19:10-11. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so they could not find the door. God then rained down fire and brimstone, burning up and destroying the two cities. Luke records the coming back of Jesus, but he also says in Luke 17:27-29, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'He is here.' Do not go running off after them, for the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People will be eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage, up to the day Noah enters the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in days of Lot. People were eating, drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulphur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. I ask myself, how long will God tolerate the behaviour of mankind today? For it is so like the days of Noah and Lot. God brought judgment on the earth. It makes sense that because of what is happening in the world today, God will once again bring judgment on the earth. God spoke in Haggai 2, verse 6 and 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord Almighty. Hebrews 12:26-27 reads, At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. The apostle gives us a word of encouragement while we wait for Jesus' return. We read in Titus 2:11-14, For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Let us read again what Jesus said in Luke 21:20-28. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in the Judah flee to the mountains, let those of the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment, in fulfilment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehension of what is coming on the world, for their heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. I want to pause here and note two things that Jesus said that are of important significance. In the first verse we read, Luke 21:20, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. In the days we live in, we are seeing great changes in the behaviour of the nations and kingdoms. Iran is all out to destroy Israel. Russia and Syria have an alliance with Iran. Iran is trying hard to build up weapons along the northern borders of Lebanon, the country which lies to the north of Israel. Iran is determined to destroy Israel. There is some difference of opinion as to when the nations will attack Israel, before Jesus returns to collect the church, or maybe it will take place after Jesus takes his people home. I believe it will happen after the church has been taken. I want to highlight the imminent return of Jesus and the fulfillment of Scripture by highlighting right now that there is a build-up of arms against Israel. The second thing of important significance is what Jesus said in Luke 21:25-28. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for all the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man in the clouds with power and glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Please listen to part two, when we will continue to discover more signs of the imminent return of Jesus for his church.